Welcome to Beers and Buckets. My name is Connor. I'm joined by Dal. Dal, how you doing, my man?
My camera's still broken, so you can't see the peace signs that I'm throwing at you. But I'm doing pretty well. Got the home run derby on in the background. Albert Pujols got robbed. Juan Soto beat him. Albert Pujols is wonderful and is like 87 years old. One of my favorite sports conspiracy theories, I think probably second behind the whole like Michael Jordan got suspended for gambling, and that he was obviously didn't have the flu during his flu game. Kind of a twofer there. But my favorite baseball conspiracy theory is that Albert Pujols is really like 55 years old or whatever, and just like lied about his age because he doesn't have a birth certificate. I very much subscribe to that one.
I would totally buy that one for sure. I have it on as well. I haven't been paying as close attention to it. It's just kind of in the background, but watching it reminds me of, do you remember the game? I had it for PS2, but I know it was my friend had it for like GameCube. It was MLB Slugfest 2004. Did you ever play that?
Is that the one with Mark McGwire on the front?
I believe so. I can't remember, but I only had the 2004 one. But like the home run derby, it was like these midget clowns like were like the ones in the field. And so like I cut to a scene of the kids like catching the ball for the home run derby, like in the field. And I was just like, it'd be better with midget clowns. But that game was so fun. That, and like, if you haven't caught on to our drop for music, for our intros and outros, it's an actual song. I can't even remember the name of the actual song, but I just used the instrumental because it was the intro music for NBA Street Volume 2. And so like, if you hadn't noticed, that's where it came from. If you recognize it but couldn't put a name to it, that's where you recognize it from probably. So shout out to Classic Video Games. Those games are selling for so much money right now. I wish I could find my original copies of them, but they're probably all scratched to hell anyway, so it doesn't matter.
But, I bought a copy. So after you made that the intro music, I said this in the confidence of our text thread, but I will now admit to the group that I had never played NBA Street Volume 2 because I had the first one, and I probably logged a billion hours on that thing, but I never actually played Volume 2, so I bought it. It was like, I found it for like $18 on eBay. I actually had to buy a new PS2 controller because I hadn't played my PS2 in ages and half the buttons didn't work. I found it, and I actually, one of my friends also said that he had played, what was the one that was for PS3 and Xbox 360 that was like, it was the next like iteration of it, Home Court maybe?
I think something like that. I never got into it.
I hadn't played that one either, and he was like, that one was actually my favorite. So I ended up getting a copy of that as well for my PS3.
I was really into those, and I was really into NFL Street. I know NFL Street never got quite the rap that NBA Street got. It's just harder to do like pickup and like football compared to, you know, pickup basketball. Like, it makes more sense for pickup basketball. So but yeah, those were all good fun games. And then like just the standard MLB The Shows were always fun too. But MLB Slugfest 2004 was, I logged way too many hours on that game. Fantastic. I love sports games, but a lot of my friends did not.
Why is it 2004 and not 2004 like every other game was? That never made sense.
I don't know. I think it probably just stuck out, but like, I think that I remember like that's how they like pronounced it too. Yes, in the drop.
It was very strange.
Yeah. So
I was absolutely terrible at NFL Street. I was so like, I'm not very good at video games in general. I have always been one of those people that plays video games and doesn't play, like actively doesn't play on the hardest mode to like get myself better. I would just rather like beat the shit out of a team. Like, my parents used to always make fun of me because I would play backyard baseball on like the easiest mode, and I would win like 50-0. And they're like, "Dal, how is that fun?" And I was like, "What do you mean, how is that fun? How is this not fun?"
That checks that checks as far as being that competitive that you want to win like 15-0 for
yeah,
sure.
Like, I don't want to go on FIFA. Like, I'm already bad at FIFA. I don't want to log on to FIFA and get my ass kicked by the computer. And like, that's not enjoyable. I want to destroy everything and just win easily. Like, come on.
Yeah, that checks. That checks for sure. I love it. I love a good, comfortable lead. I love a good, comfortable lead. That's just as much as anybody. But yeah.
Right.
Oh, man. The best is when you're playing somebody. Like, if you're playing the computer and you lose or, like, whatever, it's no fun, obviously. It's easier to, it's almost easier to handle when you're playing, like, somebody in person. Like, I'm fine with losing, like, to some, like, in person. And I typically, like, in 2K, I'll pick, like, the Magic or one of the worst teams in the league, like the Magic, and they'll pick like the reigning champ, like the Warriors, or they'll pick the Bucks or something like that. And so it typically balances out. But one time, like this kid I was playing, like he never was good. He picked the Bucks and I picked the Magic, and he just absolutely destroyed me because he just kept like no one could stop Giannis. And he
Giannis is a cheat.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we've talked about enough fake sports. Let's talk about some real sports. Obviously, you talked about the Home Run Derby. Man, I really miss having sports besides baseball to watch so bad. Hey, even summer leagues over. I love baseball, but it's not fun to watch. And I just keep up with the scores and stuff. I don't really sit down and watch the games because it's just I'll take what I can get from it right now. But we are a couple weeks, 3 weeks away from the Kentucky Bahamas trip. We got football starting soon. I have football coaching starting in 2 weeks. I'm excited about what are you thinking this upcoming football season? Are you already started doing some fantasy football mock drafts now?
I guess I'll have to play fantasy football this year because I am in charge of our like work league. I actually got voluntold the other day that I'm going to do we have what we call Teach Us Tuesday that we do every month. Someone does just like a random one. Someone the other day or last month did like how to get started running. Someone did, it's like super into coffee. So they gave us like a 30 minute little,
like a TED talk,
not lecture. It's just like, it's almost like just like, kind of like an overview of stuff.
Yeah.
We've done a bunch of different things. But yeah, I got voluntold to do a like crash course to fantasy football.
Take a QB in the first round. That's what you need to tell them. Take a kicker in the second round.
Kicker and defense are very important.
Yeah, I've done a couple mock drafts. It's annoying because last year we did our draft order based off of March Madness in the bracket challenge group.
That's actually
which
really
was really fun. Yeah. It was super fun that way. And like this year they're like, oh, well, I'm not going to do this because you have an unfair advantage. You host a college basketball podcast. I was like, brother, I still probably will not be able to correctly guess the March Madness tournament because it's so random of an event. It's almost like there's no advantage. Nobody has a clear advantage. And if we had stuck with that this year, that like the person that complained probably would have ended up drafting higher than me. But it didn't. They decided like the people that complained enough, like one of them is not even playing this year. And so I was like really frustrated. It's like we could have gone with our original idea, but now we have to do a randomizer. So next year, this upcoming season, we're going to do we're going to do the March Madness group bracket challenge to determine our order. And I'm really excited for that. Because maybe my knowledge of college basketball will help me, but nobody saw St. Peter's going to Elite Eight, so like that just put a dent on everybody's.
I went to the Thor movie the other day, and wore my Peacock Nation shirt that I bought after St. Peter's beat us, and some random guy stopped me. I went in Lexington, and some random guy stopped me and was like, "Dude, that shirt is awesome." He was like, "That's so funny that you have that."
Was a Kentucky fan, or do you think he was a Louisville fan, or what?
No, he was a Kentucky fan. He was like, "That's so funny that you bought one." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, I kind of like had to after, because I wasn't overly mad actually after that loss. And then once home field like got the or like dropped the shirts. I was like, all right, it has a peacock on it. Like, that's funny.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I thought about doing it too.
I'm sure a lot of people thought about it, but that's cool that he was cool about it, because I'm sure there are some Kentucky fans that would be like, take that off right now.
Yeah. I was honestly a little bit of hate for it. So
yeah, definitely. So, all right, man, let's jump into this beer review. We've stalled long enough. What are you drinking tonight?
So I have Urban Artifact, is a brewery out of Cincinnati, I believe. Yes, Urban Artifact Brewing. I'm drinking their Key Punch, which is a key lime fruit tart. I think it's like a gosa, technically, because obviously a tart is not a kind of beer. But it's 4.5% alcohol. It's a 3.2 pH. I didn't realize that we were putting pH on beers now.
The acidity level.
Sours. Yeah. That's kind of funny. I think it was like a 12% or like a 12 IBU was what it said on Untappd. It's a 3.8%. Yeah, let's try it. On the thing, the little description of it says, this fruit tart has two key limes, a speck of vanilla, and a pinch of salt in each can. Which is cool.
We all know how you feel about key lime, so.
Bro, probably as soon like as it. I saw it, I was like, yes.
You're coming home with me.
Woo. That's a lot of lime. They weren't kidding. That's way smoother than I thought it was going to be, though. The lime, like, hits you right when you start it. But that's really good, dude. This is way better than I was expecting.
Nice. Yeah, I've had a ghost before. It was like the margarita ghost. I reviewed it on this and it was pretty good. Like, I ended up finishing the rest of the pack. But it was a margarita ghost, and it had like more it didn't have enough lime to it. I'm sure that would be good with a lot of lime. Definitely.
Yeah. Huh. Wow, this is this is really good. I'm trying to think what I compare it to. Let's do. Actually, here, you go while I think of who to compare it to, because I don't have enough.
Yeah, it's easier to save the comparisons for the end. Yeah. All right, I'm drinking. I've had this brewery before, viewed on the pod. I had it was the Dirty Blonde Ale, but this is for Simon Hollow Brewing out of Deland, home of the Stetson Hatters. It's midway between Orlando and Daytona. So nice little town there. Pretty cool. They have a dog parade. I went to there one time. They had like a dog parade on the weekend I was there for a wedding, and it was like, this is so random, but it felt like you were like walking into downtown of Back to the Future. So really, really cool vibes. But they have a brewery there for Simon Hollow Brewing. So I'm drinking tonight their Blood Orange Wheat, which is what they describe as a vacation wheat ale brewed with blood oranges. It's 5%. Alcohol by volume and 20 IBU, which is, I don't think we've ever actually explained what IBU is. It's the international bitterness scale, units. So 20 IBUs there. It's not overly bitter, because it's a wheat ale. It's not going to be super hoppy. Like an IPA is much higher IBUs. It got a 3.59 out of 5 on Untappd. So I'm going to give this a go.
Yeah, the IBU scale is the main thing that like double and triple IPAs were made to do, was break the IBU scale, because it was initially out of 100 and they were kind of made to be able to try and break that 100 mark on the IBU scale. Fun fact.
Didn't know that. That's interesting. It's a good flavor. I will say 100% that I am still sick a little bit. So, I'm still a little congested. So my flavor palate isn't totally accurate. Like, I had a mango cart tonight as well, and it was like, this does not taste like a normal mango cart. The aftertaste definitely are affected by it. But It's good. It's a wheat ale. Like, the wheat ale is the strongest. It's more flavor from the orange than, like, the pineapple that I had for the low key last week. It's more than just, like, a hint of pineapple or hint of orange. So, that was pretty good. I will say it's not like I'm gonna finish all these. It's not like I'm gonna keep buying these like I did the mango carts or anything. It's kind of a, like, just you enjoy every once in a while. But I don't know. I'm gonna go with, have we compared anything to, like, Illinois for bat, like, for beer? So. I feel like it's like an Illinois, like, you know, surprise you here or there. But they think it's probably at the top. They're not really at the top. I don't know. That I'll just go Illinois basketball because the orange. So yeah. What are you comparing yours to?
I'm gonna compare mine to just the OVC in general. So it's something that is, I feel like that every year is better than you expect. It kind of comes out of left field. It can be a different team every time. But it's just like, it ends up producing more than you expect pretty much every year. So I'll go to OVC with mine.
Nice. So, Dal, the Boilermakers, Connor. We're talking about them tonight.
Boilermaker.
They finish. Yeah. Finish the sentence. No, we're talking about Purdue tonight. They had a remarkable season last year, probably one of the best in recent memories, if we're being honest. Regardless of where they finished in the tournament, their regular season was pretty dang good. Obviously, they had a really super talented, a couple of super talented players, but a really super talented player in Jaden Ivey, who went to the Detroit Pistons. But let's break down the last season. So they went 29-8 overall. They went 14-6 in conference play. So they finished third in the Big Ten. They finished 10th in the AP Top 25 and 14th in KenPom. So they, like I said, Jaden Ivey's departing. Went to the Celtics, or to not the Celtics, the Pistons. Travion Williams went undrafted. He averaged 20 minutes and 10 points off the bench, which at the beginning of the season, like, he was one of the heralded, like, top 10 returning player. So it was interesting that he had the season that he did. I feel like obviously Zach Edey outplayed him for the starting spot, I guess. But Travion Williams went undrafted, went to the Celtics on a contract. Sasha Stefanovic, who in my opinion was one of the more underrated players for Purdue last year, really good shooter. He went undrafted as well. He was a senior though, so he went undrafted. And signed a contract with the Spurs, like a summer league contract. Eric Hunter Jr., I think he entered the draft. He was a senior. I think he entered the draft, went undrafted. I don't know if he picked up a contract anywhere. He was a guard that averaged 25 minutes a game and 6 points a game. And then Isaiah Thompson, he transferred to Florida Gulf Coast University. He averaged 16 minutes. Keep on doing that. 16 minutes a game and 4 points. Off the bench for the Boilermakers. So I feel like they're losing a lot, but at the same time they aren't. Like, if you look at their returning players, they're getting more returning. When we talk about this pre-recording, they have, like, they're returning basically all their bench and then Zach Edey and Mason Gillis. But losing Jaden Ivey and Sasha Stefanovic and Travion Williams, even though he was coming off the bench, those are huge gaps that you have to fill. So break down our returning players for us, Dal.
I mean, like, the before I do that, the, like, Travion Williams, in, I know that the whole, like, oh, it's not about who starts, it's about who finishes, and that starting is kind of overrated. Purdue, like, truly did have six starters last year, because we were talking about earlier, but Zach Edey, like, played less than half of a game in terms of minutes. So even though Travion Williams, kind of like how Tari Eason came off the bench for that LSU team, but ended up playing, was ended up being tops on their team in minutes and was playing starter minutes just off the bench. That's how Travion Williams was. So yeah. It's, I mean, he's both literally and figuratively a huge loss.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he is a large man. But no, I mean, the other guy I mentioned there, Zach Edey, is coming back. He's the big returner that they have. Oh, also, Eric Hunter Jr. transferring to Baylor, or not Baylor, to Butler. He's from Indianapolis, so he's transferring there, it looks like. But yeah, Zach Edey coming back, averaged 14 and almost 8 last year on 19 minutes per game. Mason Gillis, forward that also is coming back. Brandon Newman, Caleb First, and Ethan Morton are also guys that are coming back. Honestly, we kind of talked about how they lost a bunch of their starters. Purdue's entire bench is pretty much back, though, which obviously is, I guess, better than losing everyone. Have some continuity there on the fringes, but they're being able to kind of have guys step up and have a good starting five is going to be their big thing. It looks like they also, Trey Kaufman, Wren, and Brian Waddle redshirted last year and will be suiting up this year.
Yeah. And when you lose players like Travion Williams and Jaden Ivey, like, it's going to be really hard to find production from, like, to replace that production, really. They're getting a couple of four-star guards in Camden Heidi, I think is how you pronounce it, or Heidi, and Braden Smith. Camden is from Plymouth, Minnesota, and Braden Smith is from Westfield, Indiana. So Camden's a shooting guard, and then Braden's a point guard. They're getting Fletcher Lawyer. He's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's actually ranked 86th in ESPN Top 100 as a shooting guard there. And then they're getting this guy, William Berg. He's a center from Stockholm, Sweden. He's not ranked because he's from out of the United States. And then they have one transfer coming in, David Jenkins. He's a guard from Utah. He averaged 8.5 points a game, 1.7 rebounds, and 0.7 assists. So, like, looking at their incoming players, it doesn't look like they're going to get that kind of production like that Ivy and Williams and Stefanovic had. But at the same time, those three I mentioned were not, like, freshman phenoms in their first year, obviously. Like, it takes some time. Matt Painter, I think, knows what he does. I think he has a good system. I don't think it's a system that's really built around getting blue chip recruits. You know what I mean? Yep. So I think it, this season is not going to be the season that we talk about these guys. If we get anything positive out of it, it's a cherry on top for them. It's 2-3 years from now is when you'll start seeing production from these guys that Painter has had, you know, teams like in that place before. So there should be a decent amount to get excited about for this, for Purdue, but it's just going to take a little time.
Yeah, I mean, there are two. I mean, they're probably way more than two, actually. But you can either have a team that's built on stars and have your kind of your top six rotation be what carries you. We saw Duke do that last year. It obviously has worked for a bunch of different teams. But then there's also the approach where, all right, we're going to play legitimately 10 or 11 guys, and the strength of our team will kind of be in the numbers that we have and the ability that we have to lean on our depth. And that seems very much like the way that this Purdue team will go, considering who they're returning, who they're losing out on. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be guys that will take steps up. We've seen Jaden Ivey turned himself from, like, a maybe end of the first round, definitely, like, might have been able to sneak into the lottery last year, but
yeah,
he was not, like, it was clear that he had the potential to be, but was not this good last year or the year before, and obviously got a lot better. Trevor Williams has continued to get much better. If you can get another leap from Zach Edey, that would be a huge help. But Matt Painter has shown that he has the ability to develop these guys. So my guess is they probably end up in the like borderline top 25-ish team just because voters seem to like the Big Ten so much, or the Big, yeah, the Big Ten so much. But my guess is we see them be kind of like a fringe top 25 team all year. Probably a tournament team, but a leaning more towards like a 9 or a 10 seed rather than competing for like a top 4 or 5 seed.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they're going to finish the Big Ten in the Big Ten standings. They'll probably finish around like 4 or 5, maybe 6 if like something tragic happens, like, you know, God forbid injury or something like that happens. But I mean, we'll see. You know, that this Camden Haiti guy could outplay his ranking, or Braden Smith, or Fletcher Lawyer. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer is ranked 86th, and we know for a fact that, you know, 4-star guards like that, you know, outplay their rankings like that all the time. So he could step in, have a good season, kind of be that in that same timeline that Jaden Ivey was on, where he borderline go to the draft, or, you know, like sneak in a lottery, but then comes back and then has a monster sophomore year. Definitely not out of the question for that. So where do you think that the this team will finish in the Big Ten?
I think like the 6 or 7-ish range seems reasonable.
Definitely.
I feel like, here, actually, let me look it up, because I feel like that they had a really good home court advantage last year. Granted, kind of everyone in the Big Ten did. The Big Ten was very home team driven. But it always seems like Purdue is a hard place to play. So my guess is you'll see them fare pretty well at home, kind of struggle on the road at times, and yeah, finish in that 6, 7, 8-ish range, and probably still be, I mean, that's still, with how many teams the Big Ten got in last year, that's still a tournament team. But that'd be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, all right, let's move on to the all-time Purdue starting 5 and 6 man. With the point guard, I know it's recency bias, but, I mean, like, he's probably the best guard that Purdue's had in a long time, outside of a name that we'll mention in a little bit. But, I mean, he was sensational. It's Jaden Ivey that we have at the point guard, even though he didn't really play a true point guard. We put him at the point guard because he could if he wanted to. Do you agree or disagree?
This is our podcast. We can do what we want. I agree because he's really, really good.
Yeah. Who's our starting shooting guard?
Yeah, so we threw Etuan Moore on here. He's a guy that is outside of his college exploits, which were very, very good. He also seems to be just like one of those kind of the epitome of the, oh, he is like a perfect 9th, 10th man to bring in to your NBA team because he's a great locker room guy. He always just seemed like such a fun guy to watch on those Purdue teams in like the middle of the 2010s. So he was our pick at the two guard.
And then for our small forward, or, you know, our three, we picked Glenn Robinson. He's probably the best player Purdue's ever put out. Obviously historic NBA career, NBA champion, all rookie first team, 2-time all-star, but at his time at Purdue, I mean, he was this NCAA season scoring leader, Big Ten player of the year, 1994, first team parade All-American in 91, you know, all second first team in 94. So, and then in high school, I mean, he was Indiana Mr. Basketball. So obviously a fantastic player. Glenn Robinson has always been a favorite of mine. Even obviously before I was born. So I just have to appreciate what I watched before, but, like this is a no brainer, easiest pick for this whole, starting five here. So you were really good, you know, dead set on our power forward here. Who do you have?
Dude, it's gotta be Robbie Hubbell. He just, outside of being a great player, the story of him tearing his ACL, I think twice even. And just like constantly come battling back from those. He also has done some, I don't know why, for all the things that we could talk about for him on the basketball side, this is what comes to mind. But he's also done some like announcing on kind of random games. And he always just like seems very charming in those too. So I'm a big Robbie Hummel fan. He was always in just like kind of flipping between games. If I saw Purdue was playing whenever Robbie Hummel was on those teams, it was always one of those where I would kind of stop to watch. So he was our power forward.
And then for our center, we went with Joe Barry Carroll. In 1980, he led Purdue to a Final Four, so it was definitely a decision that was what they did at the university at the time. But also, I mean, the man was an all-star, all rookie first team, and he was a consensus All-American when he's at Purdue. And he averaged 17 points in NBA career, which is not an easy thing to do. And he also averaged 17.7 points in his Final Four run. So that was also like the easiest pick for center. And then lastly, go ahead, Dal. Tell us who our sixth man is.
Yeah, it's the little tiny assassin, Carson Edwards. Funny, we're talking about that Trayvon Williamson signed with the Celtics because Carson Edwards got drafted by them a couple years ago. But dude, I feel like that he was one of the first people to kind of bring the whole like Dame mentality, where Carson Edwards just would pull from anywhere on the floor and would hit big shots. So it's obviously hard to live up to the Dame kind of like watermark for being that good, but Carson Edwards did a pretty damn good job of replicating Dame's game in the college ranks. So he's our sixth man scorer off the bench.
Agreed. There is I feel like we should do an honorable mention just because of even before the circumstances, but you know, he was still a good player, but just because of what happened recently, we can't go any further talking about Purdue basketball without talking about Caleb Swanigan. Yep. Just absolutely like that guy was really good in college. It's a shame how he kind of bounced around the league, but you know, like just get help if you need help, guys. Like just reach out to people. It's just so sad what happened. So our hearts, thoughts and prayers go out to the Swanigan family and Caleb's friends. Just terrible, terrible tragedy. He didn't need to die that young, and get help if you need it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah. Yes. Just that's our good message for the day, is to do that. So, all right, well, man, this has been fun. We talked about Purdue basketball. We talked about beer. We hit all our check boxes for this episode. What are you leaving us with the last call, Dale?
I think my last call is going to be to shout out the most valuable player of the NBA 2K23 Summer League. And that was none other than Sacramento Kings draft pick Keegan Murray, who I was super high on last year. Was very excited about him being able to go so high in the draft. Thought he was a great pick. We've been talking in our group chat a bunch about just Summer League in general, but it was funny because I definitely sent a video of Keegan Murray shooting a three that he just like absolutely bricks. And everyone's like, wait, Dal, didn't he miss that shot? And I was like, yeah, irrelevant. But I feel like that Paolo and Chet, especially Chet after the first game, and then Paolo just with a couple of their other games, seemed to me to get the most shine, but was really glad to see Keegan Murray get the MVP, average like 23-7. Shot 40% from three, and showed off what I think was always, in my opinion, the big thing that made him not just a great draft pick for the future, but a great draft pick now, is that it's just so hard to find movement and shooting, especially like running off of screens and that kind of thing with big men. And he can very clearly do that and has already shown the ability to be comfortable doing that. So, I just wanted to give a shout out to him. And, I mean, just shout out to Summer League in general. I know we covered it a bunch, but, man, Summer League is just so fun. So fun. One of his teammates, actually, Nemus Kita, that's a former Utah State Aggie. They're the Aggies, right?
Yeah.
He was super fun. So that Kings team was really fun. Summer League was great.
Yeah. Summer League is definitely fun. This is the most probably I paid attention to it in a while, but I enjoyed almost every minute of it. I'm actually rewatching the Kings Magic game right now because it's on NBA TV. Nice. And it's like 83-70. So with two and a half minutes left to go in this game, and the Magic blew a 13-point lead thanks to the war criminal RJ Hampton. But all that to say is I just enjoy sports when they're on. Don't take it for granted, because right now we're stuck with baseball and that's it. And it's not satisfying my sports itch, but we're getting there. We're getting close. Just have fun when sports are on. And then also thoughts and prayers up to the Anklet Sharks football team. We're 2 weeks from fall practice, fall camp starting. I'm super excited for that. So I might be a little bit less active on Twitter just because you know how crazy football season is, especially the start of season. And then also I have to share a quick story. I was redoing the sprinklers in my yard tonight, like finally getting all the broken ones fixed. And so I had to adjust them. And my dog just went like nuts outside because she's never really like played in the sprinklers before because they're usually going on in the morning. And she was like, I'll post a video of it later. So enjoy good Sailor content because she is the best puppy, but also the worst puppy, but the best dog in the world. And, if you want to go ahead and share a picture of your dog or a video of your dog or cat or whatever pet that you want to share, because we love the interaction. More interaction with us means we get to know you guys more, our listeners more, and what you want to hear. So that's my last call is just, man, enjoy life. There's no point in being so negative all the time. So try and be positive. Went and saw Thor last week and had a great time. I could have easily taken a negative take on it, but you know what? I enjoy the movie for what it's worth. So same thing with life. You guys do that too. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Dal, if you don't have anything else, we're going to head out of here. So let us know where our listeners can find you and where they can interact and have fun with you.
Yep. @do_WellHarmon on Twitter. I have been posting some memes at Connor's expense on the Beers and Buckets Twitter account as well, which is always fun. Be on the lookout for just us continuing these previews. If there's anything you want us to cover, I know I did that episode with Cam a couple weeks ago for conference realignment. If there are any other topics you would like us to cover to take a look at, like Connor said, the interaction is always welcome. We're always looking for feedback. So yeah, feel free to shoot us a note on anything you'd be interested in seeing and we can get something spun up.
Yeah. And we were talking pre-pod about this is that we're going to make all our show notes. We're going to condense them and put them, these tables that we put in Excel or in a sheet or in some sort of vessel to give to you guys that if you want before the season, besides the audio vessel, obviously, but a visual that it's kind of like a cheat sheet to the college basketball season because we covered a lot of teams and we're going to probably continue to cover more of these teams and preview conferences and things like that. So this is going to be super helpful, like a breakdown of a preseason guide for you guys. Obviously nothing is set in stone. Transfers happen all the time. There's still transfers that haven't been announced yet. It's as we approach the season, it's definitely going to be more established rosters. Like if you listen to like this episode versus like the offseason episode one, there's people that were undecided then, obviously now that they're decided now. But we will continue to update all of that for you guys, and making sure that you guys can be the most knowledgeable you've ever been going into a college basketball season, so you can enjoy it the most. So we appreciate you guys listening. Make sure that you leave any comments or questions or anything for us. We try to do polls so we can interact with you guys. Share this episode if you don't mind. If you have a Purdue fan that you know, share this episode with them, because obviously if they're a Purdue fan, they're probably going to know everything that we discussed. But we might add some insight to their roster breakdown that they might not know about. So who knows? But this is also for you to just get to know Purdue. So that way, when it comes down to the season, you can expect, you have some expectations in mind other than thinking that they're last year's team, because they aren't. And every team is different college basketball each year. So, but we appreciate you guys listening. And yeah, you guys, actually, let's go Boilermakers. Boilermaker, I hardly know her. So I had to get that one in there. Dal didn't finish it earlier. So you guys have a fantastic week, and we'll catch you next week.